I'm willing to learn your business in exchange for experience and skills that they could then transfer.
These investments combined with our Moving Florida Forward initiatives will continue to alleviate checkpoints in the supply chain.
As Representative Yarkoski pointed out, I'm surprised this is not a law already.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. HR Florida State Council, affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Management, advocating for the workplace on behalf of 16,000 human resource professionals and 6,300 Florida employers. HR Florida State Council. More at hrflorida.org.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, Florida's minimum wage requirement would not apply to certain employees like interns under legislation moving forward this session. But Tristan Wood reports some worry the move could create constitutional issues.
Floridians voted in 2020 to gradually increase the state minimum wage to $15 an hour by September 2026. But a proposal from Fort Myers Republican Senator Jonathan Martin would allow some employees, like those in apprenticeship programs, work studies, and internships, to opt out of those requirements. Under the bill, certain employees could check a box on the application form or provide the employer a written note that they are willing to work for less than the state's minimum wage. They would have to knowingly and willingly suspend that right. Martin says the bill will allow young people with limited experience to exchange getting paid more for getting that experience.
This gives an individual the freedom to show up at an employer's place of business and say, hey, I'm willing to sweep floors and learn the job. I'm willing to be a hand while you're working on engines and hold a flashlight for you. I'm willing to learn your business in exchange for experience and skills that they could then transfer into the workplace without having to pay to go to college.
Critics of the measure, like Florida Rising's Jackson Overlink, says the bill would provide broad workarounds for the minimum wage amendment. He says the vague definition of internship would open the door for employers to reclassify jobs as internships, allowing them to cut pay.
And let's be honest, no worker truly opts out of fair wages. There are zero protections in this bill against coercion, fraud, or employer intimidation, meaning bad actors can and will exploit it.
The bill may run into legal issues. Its staff analysis points to previous court decisions where judges found employees opting out isn't enough to clear employers from federal and state wage requirements. Since the Florida constitutional amendment doesn't exempt those employees, some say this proposal may not be able to supplant that requirement. But Martin says he thinks the Florida Supreme Court will side with this bill. Orlando State Senator Carlos Guillermo Smith thinks the bill could be an attempt to force a court challenge to the minimum wage amendment.
Costs are going through the roof right now for folks. They can't make ends meet. The idea that we would pass this law begging to be sued because it's unconstitutional, and then some court is going to decide, you know what, maybe the state minimum wage law needs to be overturned, we're going to have a real problem in this state. We're going to have a real affordability problem that's even worse than what we have right now.
While the bill passed its first committee along party lines, some Republicans expressed concerns that it was too broad and say they want changes before its next committee stop. I'm Tristan Wood.
A Central Florida Railway and Distribution Center is getting a boost in funding. The governor today awarded the city of Winter Haven over $1 million of state grant money to expand rail access to Polk County. Adrian Andrews reports the investment, officials say, will create 200 local jobs.
Governor Ron DeSantis awarded $1.5 million to Winter Haven to extend rail access within an industrial park called the Central Florida Integrated Logistics Park. The warehouse, which occupies land that's close to the size of 200 football fields, serves as a distribution hub with access to major highways, airports, and commercial trains. The governor's million-dollar allotment comes from the state's Job Growth Grant Program. He says it will support businesses businesses and strengthen the state's economy.
These investments, combined with our Moving Florida Forward initiatives, will continue to alleviate checkpoints in the supply chain.
Industrial Park can accommodate everything from food and coal storage to manufacturers and statewide logistics companies. DeSantis said at the award ceremony that bringing a direct rail service to the park is a, quote, high return on investment.
The rail extension will help businesses expand operations in this area, and we definitely see the potential for new jobs being created.
Florida Secretary of Commerce Alex Kelly praised the investment. He calls it a win for the entire state. He says the rail extension would increase shipping capabilities, which he says frees up some of the state's roadways.
Once the rail's connected, this project really is an exemplar best practice, I think, example of what you can do in a strategic, targeted way.
Monday's award is an addition to the money the Industrial Park received in 2021 to make road improvements and bring high-speed internet to the center. The amount then totaled $9.4 million from the Florida Department of Transportation and the Job Growth Grant Fund. Winter Haven's president of economic development, Bruce Lyon, says he's been waiting to complete the railway project for a long time.
A variety of reasons over the years it was not possible or not practical. Now, with this grant, it suddenly is.
DeSantis hinted that recognizable businesses will be coming to Logistics Park. He also says the additional rail service will create 200 jobs in the near future. I'm Adrian Andrews.
A Senate committee today did not take up a proposed constitutional amendment on term limits for county commissioners and school board members, that amid opposition from rural counties. The legislation had been on the agenda of the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee, but it was temporarily postponed, TP'd, as they say in Tallahassee. If approved by the legislature, the proposal would go before voters in 2026. Under the plan, county commissioners and school board members would be limited to 8 years of service. Lawmakers in 2023 approved 8-year term limits for school board members, but a constitutional amendment would make the limits harder to change. Senator Blaise Ingolia is the bill sponsor.
This issue will pass on the ballot north of 70% because term limits are extremely popular with people.
The measure could be brought up in a future Senate committee meeting, though. Similar legislation in the House has yet to be heard as lawmakers begin their second week of the 60-day lawmaking session. If legislators ultimately approve the plan, more than 60% of Florida voters would also have to agree. Finally tonight, the dog whose plight broke the hearts of many Floridians is now the namesake of a measure speeding through the legislature. Margie Menzel reports the bull terrier was tied to a fence on I-75 and abandoned as water rose around him and Floridians fled Hurricane Milton.
Luckily for the dog, now named Trooper, rescue came in time. Panama City Beach Republican Representative Griff Griffiths, who is behind a bill that would prohibit abandoning a restrained dog during a natural disaster, told his colleagues in committee what happened.
Officer Morales noticed a bull terrier tied to a fence in chest-deep water, and that water was rising. The video of the rescue is very heartbreaking. As Representative Yarkoski pointed out, I'm surprised this is not a law already.
Trooper now lives in South Florida with a couple devoted to his breed. They even have another bull terrier with whom Trooper has reportedly bonded. And according to Griffiths, Trooper will be visiting the Capitol on March 25th to make sure no other dogs endure what he did. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol, and that show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox. I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. HR Florida State Council, affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Management.
advocating for the workplace on behalf of 16,000 human resource professionals and 6,300 Florida employers. HR Florida State Council. More at hrflorida.org. Capital Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.